Please enjoy the music while your party's being reached.
Okay, we are recording. I'm here with National Treasure, Red Carpet Legend, the one of a kind, Steven Kojukaru. Steven, can I call you Kojo?
Of course.
Kojo, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for that intro. Nice to see you. So the scam, or why I'm laughing, is I can see you, but you can't see me. It's like the ultimate glory hole.
Yeah, no, totally. The thing is, I have to do this a lot because my Wi-Fi drops out sometimes, so I have to like turn my video off. So I'm getting a taste of my own medicine, I guess, and it's fine.
No, just because when you reached out, you said that I don't have to get a blowout, which is, you know, because otherwise my hair bottoms would have been crimping with the curling iron. You know, I really haven't achieved that much. The one thing that I have achieved is that I am the warrior goddess. The hairstylists in Los Angeles. They have statues of me. They chant every day, you know, because my hair is, it's a thing. It's a thing.
It is legendary. Yeah.
OCD. Hi, Dan.
Do you and Lisa Rinna go to the same hairstylist by any chance?
We do not.
Okay.
Do you know this reference? Do you know who Sally Hirschberger is?
Not off the top of my head.
So Sally Hirschberger is a very big superstar hairstylist. And maybe the 90s, the aughts, to get a Sally Hirschberger hairstyle was so major. And she's known for the shag, for Meg Ryan.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at her work now. Yeah. The shag.
And the shag, but the chick shag. Mm-hmm. So it's gone from a compliment, okay, in 1998, like, oh, Coach, you have the Sally Hirschberger, which at that time, again, was like having the Lamborghini, like to have her fingers touch your scalp would be the ultimate honor. But over the years, it's devolved into the ultimate insult. Like I walk into Motherlode and all of these heinous, bitchy queens are like, oh my God, your hair is so Sally Hirschberger. And then I have my henchmen, my Israeli Mossad bodyguards. Pieces. So that could be a good topic. Good references, bad references. Do you see what I'm saying? References change.
Yeah, totally. But one thing that hasn't changed is Lisa Rinna's hair. And it's like, honestly, amazing that she's stuck with it because you kind of can't knock it at this point.
No, but it has changed. She's become a real fashionista.
That's true. You're right. She's putting the wig on now.
And she's done. She's like the small screen Tilda Swinton. She's really gone very avant-garde and wild wigs. And I like it. She looks good.
Yeah, her career is like very enviable. She's done like everything. She's done like soap opera. She's done like diaper commercials. She's done like runway for Blunt. I don't know if she did Balenciaga or Runway, but she's at the shows, you know.
Yeah,
It's like literally so cool.
That's amazing. We should make her a dame. Oh, but we don't do that in this country.
No, not really. It was Kim Kardashian's birthday yesterday. I honestly think they need to stop celebrating their birthdays publicly, like everyone in that entire family. I just feel a little undignified and annoying. Ugh, like, who cares?
What are you talking about? You're so naive and innocent. They celebrate their vaginal discharges. They celebrate fucking everything. They are of the social media age. In honor of her birthday, I put on a vintage Mugler. I had seven ribs cracked. Do we even have seven ribs? And you know, this whole micro waist trend, which is really scary and weird. She wore hot pants and she wore this micro little corset to the Academy Gala the other day.
She was wearing like that white Mugler corset. Yeah.
And I'm not down with the crushed, tiny, microscopic 14-inch waist. I really, it's alarming, you know, that like, hello, there's a case for body dysmorphia.
Yeah, it's pretty freakish.
Freakish. When Mugler did it originally, it had a whole different connotation. It was about goddesses and glamazons, and it was about fashion. But these, like, no offense to Kim Kardashian and Nicole Kidman, these girls are amateurs. They shouldn't be crushing ribs and wearing micro corsets. Only do this if you're a professional.
I agree.
Like you.
Like me. I I was wearing a corset earlier, but I did take it off to sit down. I should like get, I mean, my posture is pretty bad. I wonder if that would like help to wear like a waist trainer just like around the house.
Yeah,
Do you
why
like
not?
ever do anything like that?
Do I ever feel like doing that? Yeah.
What are you up to like daily? Like currently, like
Daily?
what's your kind of day to day like?
Well, first of all, I'm constantly having to delete or messages on Grindr and Scruff from men who want me to dress up. I mean, I get literally 10,000
Oh.
a day offers of fishnets as far as Saudi Arabia. And I want to make it crystal clear, it's beautiful for other people. This is not my trip at all. I am the reincarnation of David Bowie. For me, everything comes from the rock star lens. So I spend a lot of time putting out those fires and saying no to marriage proposals from Saudi Arabia. My day to day, I'm building my social, and I'm working. I'm actually a working girl every day. And I've had highs, I've had lows, I've had it, I've lost it. And this sort of new version of me, 3.0, I want to build it and own it. So I don't have to, so I never have to lose it again or be at anybody's mercy. I'm new world, I'm old world, I'm other world. Do you know what I'm saying? A lot of different experiences. So I'm actually, people think I'm, lollygagging and sitting around and having chocolates fed to me, but I'm not, I'm working.
I kind of got reintroduced to you. I mean, I've been a fan for like 20 years, probably, maybe more.
Beautiful.
But then you did Friends of the Pod, Steven and Lily's live show in LA, Celebrity Book Club.
Yeah.
And then I started listening to your podcast, was it called the Kojo Tapes?
The Kojo tapes, yeah.
Are you still doing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We did season one. I did it all on my own, which I had something to prove. I really wanted to have something that was mine, like guerrilla broadcasting. And I did 20 episodes. And now that I'm so immersed in social, like there's so many new ideas and directions to go in that I'm figuring it out. It'll probably be back sometime in the next month or two.
Okay,
So,
great. Because I loved it. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Because I subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, but I never look at Apple Podcasts. I'll use like Spotify for some reason. And I was like, where is the show? Okay, I've got some catching up to do, but that's exciting for
yeah,
me.
so yeah, so I want to figure it out. I'm learning a lot. I'm like a sponge.
TikTok, I mean, that's where people say you have to go, but I'm very like, it's such a confusing app to use.
Well, number one, my next book, or my tombstone will say, if you can dish it out, you better be able to take it, So I haven't been back for long, like back in this form, and I put some TikToks up already, and already the blowback and the haters and the comments, I fucking laughed my ass off yesterday. Somebody called me cocaine nose, which I thought was hilarious. When I was on the Today Show and on Entertainment Tonight and E and all of that, there was very little social. No one spoke back. It was like a gay dictatorship, and I rather liked it that way.
Right, yeah.
Now, there's a lot of sassy ass people out there.
A lot of scary, lonely people out there that will just say the worst things you could ever imagine. They'll
Yeah, I
just
mean,
say it.
I'm a licensed professional, and everything is built on Dan, my message. Seriously, everything is built on, like, again, this new incarnation. Everything is built on we all can afford to laugh at ourselves. Life is so tragic and so dark sometimes and twisted that, I've been around a lot of celebrities who take themselves very, 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 very seriously and insufferable people like that. And I think a really healthy, I'm going to use the word discharge today, discharge again, or relief. These are my favorite words, release. Is to laugh and to laugh at ourselves, at all of our foibles,
Do you think celebrities are more uptight in like the early 2000s or currently? Because they could probably get away with things more. But now they have to like be, even like fashion commentary on the red carpet is like, it's, I don't even know why it's there because they never say anything worthy of even like hearing. It's just like compliments and it's like, okay, great. We definitely miss your voice and like anyone who will just say anything like observational about just the clothes, not even the person necessarily. We just don't even have that.
I think the celebs are more uptight now. I think it's very hard to be a celebrity. That's why they're so guarded. You say one wrong thing and you could be canceled in a second.
True, yeah.
Every sound bite, everything is magnified, everything is twisted. What's hilarious, like there was Salma Hayek and Nicole Kidman were at the Balenciaga show. And then a month later, someone found footage of them talking and supposedly Nicole Kidman swatting Salma's hand away. And do you know, like some tabloid lip readers? So it's almost quaint what it was like in
Yeah, God, you're right.
really weird
It
now.
was so much cozier back then when you could,
Yeah, it
like,
was cozy and cool and cute.
call someone bulimic. You'd like, no one really cared. Now it'd
Yeah.
be like, oh my
The
God.
knives are out and it's particularly ugly now. It's not such a great job to be a celebrity, you know? Because of social, because of everybody has an opinion now. Everybody's a pundit.
Yeah, you can also like dig stuff up from their past that's like I just learned that like Jack's t do you watch Vanderpump Rules or anything on
No.
Bravo? Okay.
Dan,
I kind of
zero. I don't watch
figured.
any of that crap. You know why? Like, I could laugh with the best of them. I find it all really toxic. I don't find it entertaining. You know, you'll find me, like, if Jared Leto popped over, Jared Leto lives at the block for me.
Oh, okay.
He has no idea the level of stalking and obsession.
I want to
If
hear about it.
Jared Leto came over tonight, you would find me,
Yeah.
like, watching an old movie, like, from the 1930s or 40s, or a British period piece. I want to take in good. I want to be inspired. I want to be moved. Or porn, hardcore porn. Like
Yeah.
last night's party was like redneck porn, which was so honest and authentic. Like the way they spit, they don't have Prada cherry flavored lube. Their lube is, you know, it's called Bubba's lube, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. That is all like smoke and mirrors, though. Like, I actually worked on, I was like doing video for like a Mormon Boys video like 8 years ago. So randomly, because I don't even like do video stuff, but like cream pies are fake, which I learned. I never really thought about that. I was like, oh, yeah, that does kind of make sense that like everything's fake, kind of.
Yeah. I think I'm going to open up a chain of bakeries called Cream Pie.
You should, yeah.
I love
Jared Leto, I did see him once in New York a few years ago. I was like day drinking with some friends in the park, and he walked by with like two models. And I like guess I was talking louder than I like thought I was. And I was like, is that Jared Leto? And he turns around, he's like, hey, how's it going? He like waved at me, and I was like, oh my God.
Well, look at how in tune he is, how in tune his eardrums are, how quickly it kind of flash he turned around.
Yeah.
He's a very beautiful looking male, you know. He has access to the best clothing in the world, to the Rick Owens capes, leather capes that I want that aren't even in production.
Oh.
He's gorgeous, but I like my hair better. His hair's a little dated. It's a little Jesus of Nazareth.
I will say his outfit that particular day I wasn't enamored with. It was like kind of like maybe pleather leggings and like a flannel, which seemed very 2000 late to me at this
Yeah.
time.
But there's, you know, I'm about male glamour, and him and Harry Styles, they ushered in the last, you know, few years a real moment of male glamour. And there was a time where if a man dressed up, it was, oh, he's gay, you know. And thank God, like the Harrys and the Jareds, you know, the modern day dandies shattered that. And now every guy. So there was this Academy Gala the other night, and the women looked like shit. They were so off. And the men looked phenomenal, you know?
Was there a theme for that?
The theme was absolutely nothing to do with the cinema. Unless you call Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee's video, unless she got a Lifetime Achievement Award. The Academy is the Academy of Motion Pictures and Arts and Sciences. It is devoted to the cinema. And you would consider having cinematic people known for the cinema. But they had the Kardashians there and Pamela Anderson. So it was a little off
Well,
for me.
Pamela Anderson's in a new movie that's supposed to be quite good. I forget what it's about,
Okay.
but
And
people
she,
are excited about
good,
it.
and she's also reinvented, and good for her.
What do you think about Billy Porter's frocks?
What about Billy Porter's frocks?
Would you wear any of them?
No, absolutely
Yeah.
not.
You like pants, right?
I do like pants. I do like
Yeah.
pants. And I'm not into like bedazzled Tom Brown. I'm really not into Tom Brown. I don't get the whole Tom Brown thing.
Me either. Oh my God, thank you. Like for me, it's like when I think of Tom Brown, I think of like a gay guy in the West Village that thinks he dresses better than he does because he's wearing like a very simple Tom Brown sweater. And I'm like, you don't get to have that attitude for wearing a Tom Brown sweater, quite
Well,
frankly.
Tom Brown, like the short shorts, it's like a schoolboy uniform. It's almost embarrassing. It's almost cringy and creepy. He's a great tailor, and the clothing, in and of its own, like separate pieces, are great, but they're not my style at all.
What do you think about La Roche's work with Zendaya?
Oh,
Zendaya?
extraordinary. Really beautiful. I'll
Did
tell you what.
you, oh, sorry. Did you like her? She dressed as like a nod to Cher. It might have been at that Academy Award event,
No,
but it wasn't.
it was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right. What did you think about that?
I thought it was too literal. I
Okay.
thought it almost looked like a Cher lookalike contest,
Yeah.
in Las Vegas. The dress itself, the Bob Mackie, her body's
She
insane.
looked amazing, yeah.
The dress was great, but when you bring the hair in, you know what I mean? To
Right.
me, came a little costly. I don't know why I looked at it and immediately I said, oh, she should have just done a little knot in the back and been half Cher and half Zendaya. There's the nod, there's an homage, and then there's a lookalike contest at Hamburger Mary's on Sunday morning.
Right.
Love
Do
their
you
work.
have
And
I've never been to
all
Hamburger Mary's. I don't know if I can wake up that early to go.
it's in my neighborhood. They line up for miles. They wear the worst kind of like Lalabo. The my entire neighborhood reeks of Lalabo.
Yep, I live
Exactly.
in Greenpoint near Williamsburg, so that is kind of the scent everyone has agreed upon.
Yeah, you can understand that. But I like Law and Zendaya's work together. I like Zendaya a lot because I feel like she knows the style 101, red carpet style 101. She knows how to read the room. She seems to have a lot of respect for the room and a lot of respect for herself. This is the mistake a lot of people make. They don't read the room. They don't have respect. Florence Pugh, who's been on my dreaded worst dress list, and
Okay, say more.
her coming in with her nipples, with her bruised, chapped nipples,
My God.
to maybe to the Academy Award. Just like this is my weird memory bank. Just like Timothée. Timmy Chalamet, when he went to the Oscars a few years ago and he wore a woman's Vuitton
Oh,
jacket with
that
a.
red kind of
No, this was black. And I think it was black sequin. And trust me,
Oh,
and he
okay. Yeah, I
wore it without
remember.
a shirt. And I mean, I'm all about wear anything, be avant-garde, be interesting. But I also have my own, just a couple of little rules. And the rules are it's the Academy Awards, it's the one really formal night of the year. And put a fucking shirt on. That's how I felt.
Yeah, you shouldn't be exposing your nipples at those events, right? That's kind of, I
I
don't know,
still want,
implied.
some codes like gentlemen. Again, I'm a mixture of old school and new school.
Yeah. What about Tan France? He's kind of like the worst person I could ever imagine.
I don't know. I've never come across.
Yeah, he's on the new iteration of Queer Eye, but
Yeah,
yeah.
I've never come across. Yeah,
Okay.
I don't care.
Do you think Jojo Siwa dress is kind of cool, or you think it's
No,
kind
not
of
at all.
lame? Okay.
No, she's like a traffic accident that should have crime
I
scene.
know, and I can't stop watching. I'm like, well, what's she gonna do next?
But you know what? At least she's expressing herself,
Yeah.
and she's out there and she's proud and loud. And I could see where she's coming from. So it's not a complete trash. It's just my tastes are very specific. You know what I've become? I've actually become a minimalist. I think when you see
No
someone.
way.
Yeah. And well, first of all, in my own life, I've become a minimalist, but I've always been a minimalist on the red carpet. You have to understand, like they found me on a manger on the red carpet at the Golden Globe Awards in 1999. And my world back then, my little circle on the red carpet was Gwyneth Paltrow and Jennifer Lopez and Sarah Jessica and Charlize and Halle. And maybe it sounds weird and nostalgic. I felt like it was this golden moment of the red carpet. These girls were glam.
It was.
And they were polished and they were chic. So I'm all about like mad chic. Bring the chic back.
Did you have like a any kind of ritual to prepare for the red carpet? It seems like such an intense and like incomparable experience. I don't even know how people do it, like leading up to like having to go there at like noon or whatever. What would you do
Well, leading up,
before?
you have to go there at noon, and then it ends like at 5. You have to sign in, lock down, the security dogs, the canines are sniffing your nuts. It's the only action you have for 5 hours, the only excitement you have for 5 hours. And then I had to take my best and worst dress right after. So you have to really do Kegel exercises and vaginal exercises because you can't take a leak
You can't
for
go to the
like
bathroom. Okay,
for seven
wow.
hours. Yeah. The red carpet, well, it depends on the red carpet. If it was something serious like the Academy Awards, I would read up on every single person there. It's insulting to not have your shit together and to not know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
So I would read up on every single person, no matter how, every director. So, because, when you're there, you're not just handpicking who you want to talk to. You know what I mean? It's not
Right.
like, oh, I want to sit there and hang out with Gwyneth and light a vagina candle. It's like you're interviewing everybody, you're interviewing directors, and you want to have your chops and know what you're talking about. So there is that. And there's also, you want to be rested and on your toes. So you're not going to Diddy's parties the night
Oh, wait a minute. Do you have
before.
any freak off stories?
No, not freak off stories. I was out of time.
Have you heard of any freak off stories?
No, I well, I was
Okay.
at, I'll tell you what I sniffed, what I gathered.
Okay.
I was like a lot of my life, my career life parallels certain periods of time. I was there when Britney was a megastar. I was there during that whole thing when Sex and the City was the biggest phenomenon. I was there at that time. Jennifer Lopez, I was there like during her whole peak and all of that. So Diddy, I knew on the red carpet. I couldn't say I knew him well. I knew him in that fake red carpet way.
Yeah.
And I would be invited to Diddy's parties, but like the sponsor parties after the VMAs, sponsored by an alcohol thing.
Yeah.
And I just knew the vibe at around 10, 10:30, it was time to go because I know it's not Diddy specifically, but I know how where those parties go,
Yeah, after the party, it's the after party, et
Yeah,
cetera, et
and I know
cetera.
where they go, and that was not my scene at all. So I didn't really see anything. The only thing I can tell you was I knew him well on the red carpet, to joke around with and go, "Hey, Diddy," and all of that. But I was very removed from that. I had three jobs. I worked for the Today Show, People Magazine, Entertainment Tonight. My skin texture is very, very important for me. God forbid I have even half of a pore that's open. It's vanity has saved me my whole life.
Do
Don't
you
forget
have
all.
any like do you get beauty treatments? Like what's your skincare routine? I would like answers for both those. 'Cause you look great and I'd like to kind of, I
I
need this
look,
knowledge.
thank you. I think I look okay because I haven't fucked with anything. It's really minimal. I really don't do a lot. I use serums, and moisturizers and masks. Usually before camera, I'll do a sheet mask. I love those. Not a bukkake mask.
No,
That's
no, no.
after the shoot or shooting.
Before, then, and after, yeah.
And after, before, after, in between. I go to the dermatologist. I like my distilled botulism. But my big secret that has taken me through trial and error is just don't stress out about it so much. I live in LA where people are obsessed. They have body dysmorphia. There's really something wrong. It's gone to a whole other place. It's
Yeah.
insane,
It's weird because it's strange if you're in a if you're a public figure and you don't get any work done, and it's kind of, I don't know. I feel like in another generation, it's we're not even gonna know what people look like without like over the age of like 50, men and women, mostly women though, but like and whatever. I'm not gonna crucify anyone, but just like when I watch The Real Housewives, I watch pretty much all of them. Every single one of them I've had worked on. And that's it would be so jarring if one of them like didn't, kind of. And I just think that's bizarre. I think it's very normal now. And I'm like, huh. I don't
I
know. It's
think you're
just
100% right.
interesting.
Everybody's looking. Everybody's going to begin to look alike, and no one will age. I'm asking myself, where have all the real men gone? Where are the rugged men? Because we're not going to see sexy, rugged men anymore, because they're all getting lifted. And young, at a young age, men like in their early 40s are getting facelifts. I find it, living in it and being around it, it's all people talk about. They sit at dinner parties, you know, talking about their endoscopic brow lifts, like otherwise intelligent people. It's taken a turn into the sci-fi and into the absolute insane. I'm going to be the only one without work. I say that today. That could change in 2.5 minutes. But I've decided I'm going to age like a French woman. I'm going to smoke unfiltered cigarettes and look really craggy, but have a great red lip and an Yves Saint Laurent jacket. And that's fucking it.
What work do you think Jared Leto's had done?
I wouldn't be surprised. I know nothing, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's already had like a facelift, a ponytail.
Okay. Ponytail. Yeah, the man bun facelift. I just saw
Man,
you
I
were
just came up. Yeah, I just
thinking
came
about
up with that.
that.
The
I thought
man
it was
bun.
genius.
I volunteered to be the first man on earth who has the man bun facelift. So for those who don't know, who don't live in LA, the ponytail facelift is like what happens when you have a ponytail and you're pulled up a little. So a lot of the younger stars, who want the fox eye and the supermodel eye and the high cheekbones and the glass and the snatch, they're getting the ponytail. They're not getting the full works with the crew and the hemorrhaging and the blood and cutting your scalp open and your cerebellum and all of your bloody parts coming out. They're getting this subtle ponytail facelift. So I was reading, I'm going to share something with you that's going to change your life, Dan, and all of your listeners. I don't know if you're onto him yet, but he's extraordinary. There is a raging bitchy bottom dermatologist, plastic surgeon, no, dermatologist in England, and his name is Dr. Johnny.
I'm writing this down. Dr. Johnny.
I think his Instagram is JB Aesthetics. And I think he's on
Okay.
Instagram and I think he's on TikTok. And what he does, it's so evil, but yet so delicious. What he does is he runs video of celebrities and then he stops it and he circles the scars.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So he has outed, remember outing?
Oh,
He has outed
yes.
everybody. And
I
he
sure
circled.
do.
I didn't know that. No matter how great the work is, your ears change, the cartilage change, the cartilage is moved somehow. So, Dr. Johnny, I pretend that my source, you know, Jared Leto told me when we were at the Chateau Marmont having anal, but my source is really Dr. Johnny, and he just did something on a certain Calabasian who shall remain nameless, who had a birthday recently. Company might it might be called Spims. And Dr. Johnny dropped a vid yesterday saying that, oh, it looks like she had a ponytail facelift. Like when I was first on television, I had a really big mouth and I broke that fourth wall. Matt Lauer, dun, 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 said,
Okay.
one day someone's going to punch you in the mouth. But those were more innocent times. Dr. Johnny is going to end up in a pool of blood in a back alley
Oh,
and
he's a goner. Yeah, he's dead. I
he's
bet he's.
revealing everything. Like an actor who is only 48, for a man, I think it's too young, who's only 48, 49. I can't say who he is. He's dating a supermodel. And she was just in the Victoria's Secret fashion show, and she has a sister.
Oh, got it.
And Dr. Johnny, like, outed him and did a video and showed where his scars are.
Oh wait, actually, like I didn't know. Wait, who's Gigi Hadid's dating? Like a younger guy? Then who's is
No,
Bella dating?
he's dating Bradley Cooper.
Oh wait, oh my God, I meant Bella is
Oh, Bella
dating
is dating a fucking hot
some,
cowboy.
yeah, hot cowboy.
Like these are the again the only men you're going to find with wrinkles who are rugged and sexy and smell like lumber and fresh chopped wood. I'm going to have to go to Texas and risk my life.
Whenever
Okay.
Bradley Cooper is dating a woman, I guess I just like forget. I just don't tend to save those files in my mind. I'm like, okay,
Why do you think were there
girl.
rumors? Were there rumors?
About Bradley Cooper?
You sleep with Bradley Cooper?
I mean, it's been a rumor for a long time.
Yeah,
Even
yes.
since like the movie Wet Hot American Summer, which came out in like 2001, he Like bottoms for Michael Ian Black, and I think that's probably like an inside joke between friends that he's like gay, and he just seems gay. I don't
No,
know.
I saw that scene. I've never, it wasn't acting. I've never seen anything so authentic and
I
raw.
know, right? No one can act
And
that well.
seeing Maggie Smith's first movie, it was so real.
She is really good. I watched some movie about her. Well, not about her. She's playing like a kindergarten teacher or something, and like kind of abducts the kid.
Oh, wait, isn't it like her Oscar? Isn't that one of her most famous movies? The Prime of Miss Jean Brody, I think.
No, this is like a indie that like no one even talked about
Oh, okay.
randomly.
Are we talking about Gigi Hadid's work as a Shakespearean actress, or are we talking about
Yes.
me? Are we talking about Dame Maggie Smith, who recently passed?
I wanted to ask about, well, my friend wanted me to ask you a question. Are you still friends with or t in touch with Mary Hart?
I'm not in touch with Mary Hart, but there's a lot of fondness.
Yeah.
I loved working with Mary Hart. How fortunate was I to work with major people like that and learn from people like that? What I loved about Mary is that all of America and the world knew her as a lady, and Mary is the ultimate lady. But and she would never gossip. But when I would come to set with juicy gossip, I liked the way her eyes danced, and I liked the way she smiled. She definitely listened. She was really good to me. But Mary, I think, leads a very private life. I think she has a home or two in Cabo. So no, you tend to not see people once you're not working with them. But great, great,
Yeah.
great, great fondness.
She kind of has like a Gina Rowlands vibe, or like Kimber from Nip Tuck as well. She's
Yeah.
gorgeous. Yeah. Love
She was
her.
incredible. Incredible. She didn't have to be nice, and she was. So I loved working with her.
Another thing I was curious about is when you had like all these jobs at once, you were in LA and you were also going to New York for the Today Show. You did an exclusive, or you just did an interview with Oprah, and that's kind of, is that what cost you your job at the Today Show? And if so, like, why? Like, don't even get it.
Yes, it is. So I was diagnosed with polycystic kidney disease in 2004. I had really not seen a doctor for a decade. And I wanted to be emaciated and gorgeous. I wanted to be a cross between Kate Moss and Keith Richards with my like ribs sticking out. And I was chain smoking. I was never into drugs, thank God, but I was a chain smoker and running around the world. And I started to look gray, and not heroin chic gray, like really like corpse gray. So I went to a doctor. I was at the height of my career. I was getting a talk show with CBS. It was just like a dream. Like,
Yeah, you're on top of the world.
I was on top of the world. And then, so I got diagnosed with kidney disease, and everything happened very quickly. And my doctors had told me I had only less than 25% function on my kidneys, and I had to have an immediate transplant. There was no waiting period. And I guess I kind of either a combination of I went into shock,
That's
and
terrifying, yeah. Also, you need to be on like a waiting list to get a kidney, right? So like
well,
that's, I can't imagine.
my doctor was, don't go on the waiting list. Like, we're encouraging patients now to find a living donor. So I was very, very fortunate. I had a friend who volunteered. I didn't even have to ask. What a blessing.
That's amazing, yeah.
But what happened was, so much was happening at once, and there was so much fear, and it was such a trauma, and it was so insane that I think the way I coped with, I mean, I announced it maybe in November. My last appearance on the Today Show was December 2004. And then my friend agreed to be my donor. She got tested, and bang, at the beginning of January 2005, I had my transplant. So there wasn't a lot of downtime. There wasn't any thinking time. It was just reacting time. And I think the way I coped with it was by micromanaging my kidney. And I got very strong and very driven. And I was kind of micromanaging my kidney press tour, which was a huge mistake, but I think I realize now it was a coping mechanism. And the Oprah people reached out, and I thought I could do the Today Show and Oprah. And I was working for the Today Show. They did ask me about it. They did have dibs on me. It was totally my fault and my insanity that I and my and being naive that I thought I could do both. So th 3 weeks for the Today Show,
Oh.
Today Show wanted to go to the hospital. Oprah wanted to come to the hospital. They wanted to be in the operating room. Rumors start, and rumors fly, and they're like, oh, there were people in the operating room. I'm like, I'm about to have a 10-hour surgery. I'm not having fucking cameras in the operating room. Let's not be insane. But so we left it with the Today Show that 3 weeks, 4 weeks after my transplant, they would call me and they wanted to do a live hit from my house. And my producer called and I said, I'm so thrilled to do the live hit. And the way I've organized it is that the Today Show is first, as I promised you, but I'm doing Oprah, but that's not going to air for 3, 4 months. And this girl was a very young producer and she freaked out. And then she went back to the Today Show. They freaked out. They got very, very emotional. And they fired me the next day, 3 weeks after my kidney transplant. I was, not to be too graphic, I was urinating blood. And I got a call from the producer saying, we're moving on without you. And like movie scene, I fell to the ground sobbing. And it hurt and it was fucked up. I said, I won't do Oprah. I'll cancel it. Let's talk about this. I made a mistake. I made a huge mistake. And it was the biggest mistake of my career. But
I can't. No, sorry, go ahead.
they went from loving me to it just went very cold. It's a lesson of,
God, one day you're in, the next day you're out. I can imagine it's very hard to say no to Oprah, though.
I was so dazzled by Oprah.
How could you not be? She's Oprah. And also,
And I
like,
had
in that time, she was absolute, like,
Oprah.
everyone talked about Oprah nonstop.
Well, I also had a relationship with Oprah. I had a very magical, insane, beautiful relationship with Oprah. A lot of interviews, a lot of time on the red carpet. We really bonded. I liked Oprah a lot, and I was very dazzled by her, and I was a huge fan, and she was one of my idols. So that's the real story. The story is it was my mistake, colossal mistake, but I don't, they got really emotional, like a bunch of queens. And I wish we could have just had a conversation about it. Everything would have changed. It went really cold. I haven't spoken to any of those people since in almost 20 years. And that's that.
Was it like in your contract that they have the rights to like your life and how you like share it? Because like I don't know. Of course not.
No, but it is expected. I worked
Yeah, no, I kind of get
that
it.
show and I worked for that network, and I didn't realize how tragedies are ratings, and that whatever they were as at what's known as first position. I see that now, but they could have been a little bit more human, and they've had their own problems since. So I have a lot of empathy for them. I don't have any anger. Katie had illness. Matt had his sexual misconduct scandal.
Oh, right. And then Brian Will, wait, was he the Today Show? No, he was just on the
No,
news.
he guest hosted a couple of times. He was gorgeous. I wanted to
He's
sleep
from
with
my hometown. He lied about
him.
the
What's
helicopter
your
thing. Elmira, New York. It's the middle
hometown?
of nowhere. Yeah, it's fine. Wait,
Oh.
I
I'm
want to know a
looking
little bit
for
more
you.
about Oprah though. Like, did she like, oh God, anything about like, did she buy you like a gift after your surgery or like your episode with her? Like, what's
No, I would have, like, I lost the job, but it wasn't because of her. I can't blame it on Oprah, but I would have been happy had she gotten me like a little cottage next to hers in Montecito, a little weekend cottage sandwiched between
Not
her.
even like a fruit basket or anything?
No, just kindness.
Okay, well, that's nice.
I got to Chicago and she was very kind to me and very understanding. We didn't really talk about it, We just moved on and I did the show and that was it.
Yeah. You think she's a lesbian?
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. Her shoes aren't very lesbian. How many lesbians? I'm going to be reamed for this. How many lesbians wear open-toe Jimmy shoes? No. You know what? She talked about it with Melinda Gates recently, and she was with Gail, and she was so open about it. And so that's when I said, no. I mean, she's really dealt with it head on,
Oh yeah, she's like, if I was a lesbian, I would have told you guys by
a
now. I'm
long
like,
time ago.
what
People
you?
like to talk shit and people like to project,
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a lesbian, but I think she might be.
Yeah, a lot of people do, but I don't. Not
Yeah.
anymore. I
Okay,
did at
good.
one point, but I don't.
I could change my mind, I guess. It's ultimately not my business, but like I still care.
I don't, like sapphic intimacy and connection is not really, I'm more of that gay man who wants to know which gay men are blowing each other. That's endlessly fascinating.
And you never heard that Bradley Cooper was gay before? That rumor?
I heard, oh, this is a big one. I had heard, not substantiated, not fair. Okay, we're just being dishy.
Alleged. We're making this up for fun.
Allegedly, I had heard from a source, and I have to be careful with the wording. How do we frame this wording? That he liked boys of a certain, he liked boys who dressed up. You know how the bane of my existence is everybody asks me all day long, do you dress up?
Oh.
That's what I heard.
Interesting. I mean, I would love if like Bradley Cooper and like James Charles started dating.
I don't see
Oh,
that at all.
I see it now. That's all I can think
No, I
about.
see. I want him to like, no, him and Eddie Redmayne, because Eddie Redmayne dresses like a gay man. I don't know what's up with him. He tries so hard.
Oh yeah, what is up with that?
He
Wait,
has
did
such
you and in...
a
Sorry, go ahead.
No, he's such a peculiar style. It's so gay.
Did you and Jeffree Star ever cross paths in like the early 2000s in LA?
No, no, no,
Okay.
no.
He's adventurous with his personal style. I'll say that. Kind
What he built.
of just like that he looks like the devil, kind of.
I think
Like
he
this face, I'm like, well, that's like if the I'm like, that's what the devil I think would look like. I
Well, yeah,
know.
super
Like
smashed.
just a skeleton face. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's cool.
Skeletor. I think it's amazing. I love what he built.
I wanted to like circle back to like you were saying that you're kind of a minimalist now. Like what is your home in I was thinking like your home interior could be more like Moroccan or is it like Greige, Calabasas or somewhere in
Oh,
between
it's definitely
or
not
neither?
Gray Calabasas.
Okay,
It's
good. I hate that shit.
shades of charcoal gray.
Ugh.
It's very minimalist. It's concrete and shades of charcoal gray and wood and a little mid-century. Very, very, very simple. I've become like a Buddhist monk. A
So you just
sort
like levitate off the ground and make TikToks.
Yeah, like a slutty Buddhist monk.
A slutty monk, a slunk.
Slunk, practically, a Himalayan. Like I'm practically living on a remote mountain. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Do you have like a strict diet after? Because you had actually, what, two kidney transplants? Because the first one, there was like an infection and it didn't. That whole thing sounds like such a nightmare, and I'm like honestly so sorry you had to go through that. It's I can't even imagine, truly. But like now, do you like have to really like monitor like kind of everything you're intaking, or like what's the tea with
No,
that?
thankfully not. Just like
Oh, okay.
just keep things in moderation, just watch my weight, nothing obsessive, keep the salt down, and but no, thank God, nothing really, really insane, and it's not gluten-free and vegan and no GMO and all that bullshit. I try and eat reasonably well, and it's more about a weight thing in my particular medical case. Like you just really just don't, yeah, don't gain a lot of weight with that because of complications and problems.
Okay, I'm very relieved to hear
Oh, and I
that.
don't
Like,
drink. And I don't drink.
all right, you don't drink. Do you quit smoking too?
Well, that's an on and off thing. That's
Okay.
a real struggle. And that's one of
I
that's one of
finally, oh, sorry, the audio is kind of cutting up. I cracked open. My friend got me the this book to quit smoking, the Alan Carr's Easy Way to Quit Smoking, and I started finally reading that last night. And we'll see. I mean, I think I gotta quit. It's just like so like irritating and expensive and just like, oh my God, like why?
deadly. I want to encourage you. I read that Alan Carr book and I quit for 5 years after that.
Wow.
So that really helped. At that point, at that moment, I was ready. And this Alan Carr, I think it's very basic, the title, How to Quit Smoking, and you chain smoke while you read it.
Yeah.
And it's all about, the psychology of smoking, and it's almost like self-hypnosis. And it helped. The problem is with smokers, or at least in my case, it gets very, you get that itch. Just
Oh,
one.
yeah.
Just one at the bar. And it doesn't, it gets very addictive. So it's an on and off thing. I want to take as great care of myself as possible. I'm sober. I've been sober for 7 years. So,
Cool, congratulations.
thank you. That's
That's
amazing.
the thing. So I'm like 50 pages into the book, and it feels like very repetitious already. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I kind of
It's
get it,
supposed
but
to be what it should be.
he's saying that like it's just like we all, smokers like make excuses, and like, I get that, and it is just ultimately like a nicotine addiction. But then he's also saying like once you want to quit, it'll kind of just happen. But I'm like, the withdrawal symptoms make me have like psychedelic trips all like it's really wild. So I'm like not sure how the book is going to address that. I mean, I'm only like an eighth of the way through, but did you use he encouraged you not to use like patches or like gum. Did you use
But
those
I
when you
didn't.
quit?
Well, when I the one time when I read the book and I it clicked for me, and the book tells you to smoke your last cigarette, it just clicked for me, and I did it without anything, without any patches. But that book doesn't work for
Wow.
me. It helped me once. Now it's like 15 patches and gum, a little bit more desperate. So I really encourage you to just follow it and to try it cold turkey, but now since I'm always in the process of quitting, the withdrawal is intense. Sometimes I feel like nausea and just really shitty,
I feel like insane kind of mania. And I'm like,
Yeah, I
oh
get
my
it.
God, like what
I
the
get it.
fuck? What did
I
we
get
get
it.
ourselves into? Oh my God.
I get it. It's a drug, but
Yeah.
think of your beauty. Think of your sperm count.
I've never actually considered that
I think
once in
of
my life.
I
Sperm
look at my
count.
sperm count 15 times a day. No, smoking supposedly is not good for your erections. There's a warning sign. I'd like to do a public service announcement and talk about that. Guys, quit smoking because your dick will go flaccid if you continue to smoke.
And
Thank
it'll
you.
fall off.
Love Koja. Yeah.
Yeah. I was listening to Celebrity Book Club, and you grew up in Montreal or near Montreal, is that
In
correct?
Montreal, yeah, in the
But you'd
suburbs.
go to upstate New York sometimes to go shopping for like Western wear and like cowboy boots and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
So cool. I mean, I'm not from that close to the border, but I did live in like Rochester, New York for like 5 years, which is like an hour-ish from Toronto and like Niagara Falls and stuff like that.
Yeah, we lived near Plattsburgh, New York, which was 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
And, certain things took a while to hit Canada, to hit Montreal. So when there was this moment when I was a kid when cowboy boots were all the rage and you couldn't get them in Montreal. So I forced my parents to drive to Plattsburgh so I can get cowboy boots. And then
Oh, wow.
we would buy clothing because it was so much cheaper there. So on the way home, you'd go through customs and you'd have 15 sweatshirts on and six pairs of pants, and socks.
Oh,
We were
okay.
Romanian, Jewish Romanian smugglers.
Yeah. Love crossing the border.
And crossing the
It's so
border.
funny. I never thought of like cowboys as being like that American. I was like, everyone's got cowboy boots, but like, I guess they don't.
Not in Canada, maybe in Western Canada in Calgary,
Yeah.
but I've never done Calgary for some reason.
Haven't done Calgary either.
Kojo does Calgary.
That, I mean, hello, that's the show.
That's the show. That's the reality show.
Do you want to get back on the red carpet and do fashion commentary, or do you want to just do like your own thing?
I want to do both.
Yeah.
I want to work and I want to do what I do. I'm one of those people. I'm a workaholic, and I feel the most excited and exhilarated when I'm working. And when I'm yapping, I'm like a vampire of dish and tea, So I'm at my best when I'm working and being in front of a camera and yapping and talking and all of that. So it's not that the red carpet is something that I yearn for and that is like the number one thing. It's more general than that. It's more about working. I very much loved interviewing celebrities one-on-one. It's challenging. It could be really fascinating to get in someone's head and do an interview. The red carpet would come in at like number three or four on that list, to be honest with you. I loved it. It was exhilarating, but I was a kid and I was very excited and I was jumping up and down and screaming and wearing pants that were 10 sizes too small and Skims weren't invented yet. I was wearing Spanx on my delicate little vagina,
On your
little
nether
body.
region, yeah.
I gained a lot of weight after my transplant and I was so cognitive dissonance. I was so disconnected. What the fuck was I going to wear? I was born to be a rock star with no musical talent whatsoever, but I could be a rock star with the clothes. This is what I always say. I made my dreams come true through, I lived the rock star life through the clothing, And when I gained like almost 80 pounds when I was on all these steroids
Oh,
and
wow.
I was determined to continue working, and I literally wore two Spanx. And people were like, "Change your style." I'm like, "What am I going to wear? Mumus, house dresses,
A
should I
belted
call them
caftan.
caftan? No, I'm going to wear Dior Homme, size 29 skin tight satin pants, and my rocker, my rock chic, and my Saint Laurent pieces." So yeah, it'd be fun to be on the red carpet. It'd be fun to. I had a style, that was loud, proud, sassy. I love the fashion commentary. The fashion commentary is so easy because the fashion now is so bad. Before, there was some decorum, there was some line, there was some bottom. There is no bottom now. There is no line. It's very much about, there's very costumey, and it's very much about the clothes wear you rather than you wearing the clothes. There's very people with an absolute great sense of personal style who just wear clothes effortlessly. So the I absolutely love more than any, I love the fashion commentary and I love breaking it all down. So I want to work.
I could, I mean, would you ever be like a judge on like Project Runway? Because they're like rebooting it on like a different network, and I would like love to hear you like really give like criticism.
Yeah,
Like, it'd
I
be
would.
really cool and like helpful for people.
I would. I would. I would and I will. I want to do those kind of things.
Have you ever been a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race?
No.
Okay, I would love to see that too.
No. No, but again, I'm into it. I'm interested in all of this. It's nice. It's nice. Like, it's been a whole arc. I basically come full circle. You have to understand that there was a time when I sort of blew up in the early 2000, 2001, gay men were extremely hateful, and not generous and not supportive of each other. And I seem to have triggered their internalized homophobia. So, and my gayness seemed to, they had this perception of that it was contagious, that maybe they'd be a sissy Nelly if they even breathe the same air. So the gay community was not generous with me and was quite hateful. Every horrible article ever written about me, Kojo too gay for TV, Kojo, a case for gay bashing. Yes, I've memorized the headlines
Ugh.
because they were hurtful and they were fucked
Yeah,
up.
no, you remember that shit sticks in your mind.
So why I'm back really is because I've connected with another generation. And I've connected with young gay men and young gay women, young gay people who come up to me and say, I watched you when I was a teenager and you rocked my world. You inspired me. I left my small hometown. There was hope. That's been very healing for me. And so that love, so it went, this, my story is a story from hate to love. So that love is what kind of helped me rise again. It's really that simple.
Right, yeah. I think at the time, in the early 2000s, it was kind of like gays cared a lot about like gay marriage and like being like, we have to be normal for a little while to get like this shit going. And then someone like you, they would see as sort of like a threat to their existence or something, which is unfortunate. But I just like was so you're like a magnet to me. I would like love seeing you on the TV. I was like, oh my God, finally, there's like someone that's just like really gay. And I can like watch and like hear talk the way I wish I had like friends like you when I was, in probably like high school, I guess, when I first, yeah,
Well,
I
you know what,
graduated in
Ben?
2006, so it'd be like the early, yeah.
You know what, Ben? I wish that I had someone like you to tell me that at the time, because I felt
Oh.
like enemy number one of the gays. So it took a lot, and also it hurt my TV career because there was a backlash. A Big and Flamboyant was out, and all of a sudden it was about the gay next door and wearing sweaters and having short hair, like Neil Patrick Harris, you
Oh
know,
God,
and
yeah.
Anderson. You know, everything at the time, there's still a lot of homophobia out there. And people still look at us and have project and have all these ideas. I know where I'm at finally. And I know that I'm strong enough now and in a place where I can be valuable. I can be a mentor. I feel a lot of love from these kids. I give them a lot of love back. I was at a gay bar. This kid told me he went into broadcasting because of me. We both started crying.
Oh.
So that's why I'm here. That's what brought it all full circle. You know, after a lot of highs and lows and backlash and being box office poison and radioactive and TV people thought I was dangerous. Do I look dangerous to you? Is there anything about me that is threatening or dangerous?
I would not cross the street if you were walking on the same side of me,
You would run
frankly.
really, really far
I would
away.
duck walk across the street.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm so threatening with my feather boa
Yeah, Lord knows we could do that boa. Oh my God.
and my Bottega man bag, my Merce.
Oh,
But Dan, that's how fucked up it is, and that's why there's still work to do. And
yeah.
the work is just be great, just be powerful. Just do you and live your best life and be powerful. That's one secret to my success, is being fucking powerful. I would be in business meetings and they would treat me like a little woman, practically like, hey, toots, you know, and I took their balls and I wrapped their balls, I ripped their balls up and I fed them to them. I've had to overcompensate, do you know what I mean? But I've always been a big fighter and I've had to fight for power. No one hands you power. But now I feel very quietly powerful. Do you know what I mean? I don't have to knock anybody over the head. But it was a process. So, like, if you ask me, like, what I wish for every gay kid listening, it's like that they're powerful, that they live a powerful life. Maybe that's not a word that even resonates with them. It's a word that resonates with me. Power is very important. Respect is very important.
Yeah, I'm just kind of soaking that in. Tea. Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, if I can help, you know, then I'll help. Because you want to learn from the negativity. You want to transcend hate. A lot of people who are the subject of hate, they just hate more, you know. There's a like at least I had a therapist who said, you know, oh, it's very common when the abused becomes the abuser. And in that moment on that couch, with me in the missionary position, kidding, that moment on that couch in that therapist's office, when he said the abused often becomes the abuser, something clicked and I go, I don't want to be the abused who became the abuser.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even know you're doing it, honestly, sometimes when
Yeah,
you're
well,
like
you see people
inflicting
who,
stuff on other people.
well, you see people who've just been just so, you know, drowned and so submerged in hate that they become hateful. Like, it's not in my zip code. I was out the other night at a bar in West Hollywood and some qu nice queens came up to me. Again, like it's mind-boggling to be remembered and to people know you, to still know my work. And one of the guys was really sweet and said, I really admire you and I like your work. And the other guy was bitchy, rolling the eyes. And I like left after 10 seconds. I just knew that I don't want to be around that kind of bitchy queenie energy. It's
Yeah,
just
why bother? Also,
also,
what is his fucking problem? Like, I don't
well,
get what it,
damage. Yeah, you know, we have a lot of damage in our community, and
Yeah.
it comes out sometimes with the cuntiness. I don't want to make this clear to any of your listeners. I will not sleep with any gay man over 50, not even 50 and 1 week, because they were there. They were there. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they were really mean. So I will, like, so it was very
Older or
hard.
younger now, then?
Well, younger, even though I'm not really into younger men, but I relate to them more mentally, and they weren't there with baseball bats in their hands trying to destroy me and kill me and negate me and marginalize and trivialize me. So, but with younger gay men, it's more a friendship. But I would probably date someone younger because I'm in my share period. And just because I just relate to
Yeah.
them. And I have scar tissue because men in their 50s were there in the aughts and they were horrific. So I built up a wall. There's scar tissue there.
Where would you like? I mean, what was your gay life like back in the early 2000s? Like, would you go out on your own? Did you have like a group of friends? What would you do? Or did you just like lay low and just work all the time?
I was super, as in quotes, super gay on the outside, okay, and flamboyant and all those words. That was just who I was, but I was kind of closeted on the inside. So many gay journalists are like, you need to give an interview, you need to come out. And I would laugh in their face and say, I've never been in. I've never had that luxury of being in. When I was born, it was like the first headline in the Montreal Gazette, gayest kid in Canada ever born.
Gayest baby in the
Gayest
world
baby in
was
the world.
born today.
I've never had that thing where I can actually open a closet door and make an announcement. So I was really raked over the coals with that. Come out, give an interview. I'm like, I was closeted inside. But I did go out a lot. I didn't go out alone. I had friends, and my happiest times were going out in New York, the Boom Boom Room, Beige. So I went to those kind of places. And then at that time, like now a lot of people go to Silver Lake, which is kind of maybe loosely the Brooklyn of LA. At that time, the center of the universe was West Hollywood. What's the bar? The video bar. It'll come back to me. So the Revolver. I go to the Revolver a lot. But the queens were bitchy and resentful and jealous and haters, really.
Damn. Where did you live when you lived in New York? Did you have a place here or were you just
I
kind of
mean,
like renting or?
I was the gay Carrie Bradshaw. I lived at the Chambers Hotel on a suite in the penthouse.
Oh
It
my
was such a fairy tale.
God.
I have
That's
to tell you, I was
amazing.
very, 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 very happy in New York because LA is a mind fuck strange place. It is my home. I love it the way, you have a problem child, but you still accept them and love them. So I have a love-hate relationship with LA. It's like being permanently stuck in high school. New York was very exhilarating for me and very exciting and very glamorous and more my speed and my vibe. The happiest I ever was when I was in New York. It was
Oh
just,
wow, interesting. When's the last time you were here?
I was just there in June. I hosted an event for The Real Real, and that was just an amazing night.
Cool. Oh my God, you have to like hit me up when you're back in town.
I want to spend more time there. I've reached a wall in LA. It gets frustrating. People are slow. They walk slower. They dawdle. You have to
Yeah,
speak
I
really
know.
slowly to them. But you
It's
know
tough.
what?
I've only visited like twice, but I've had a lot of similar experiences where I'm like, get to the fucking point, or just like, can you like hurry up like a little, like people might have somewhere to go. Like
No,
people, it's weird. It's very
I still
weird.
walk like an honorary New Yorker. Like, death for me is not having to wear fleece. That would be the second worst thing that could ever happen.
Oh, I
But
hate fleece too. It's such a perverse fabric.
is going to what's it called, to the Grove. And granted, it's not their fault. The Grove is like a little family shopping center, and people dawdle. They fucking dawdle. And I'm going to Sephora to get my Dior Forever Glow foundation, and I'm in a hurry, and I'm walking 90,000 miles an hour. It's very New York. I'm out of my way. Like,
I can
literally.
imagine it just looks like the Tasmanian devil, but like a lot thinner, kind of, you
Yes, yeah, a
know,
Tasmanian
blasting
devil
across the grove. Yeah, zigzagging
in a
around.
Dries Van Noten coat, trench coat, flying through. I'm from Canada, but the animal in me, or the real me, developed in New York. And also, I mean, magical is the word that comes to mind, because to be on the Today Show at that time when Matt and Katie were the hosts, they were superstars.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's,
And
I mean, that's incredible.
And they really embraced me. And I loved the role. I was the big, sassy, super gay problem child. And they were the conservative parents. And I played into that. And they played into it too. And when you walk down the street in New York, someone who is so bullied and so not accepted, people would spit on me and beat the fuck out of me in high school and all this trauma. And then to walk in the streets of New York and have construction workers, like there are no barriers in New York. And people go, Kojo, I love you, man. You know, taxi driver. That was such a healing for me.
Makes me emotional
You
thinking about
know,
that,
like
honestly.
nasty
You're
ass New
Mary
York.
Tyler Moore, yeah.
I felt like Mary Tyler Moore. And so for me, New York is the friendliest place in the world. It's not nasty. People are direct to the point. They're busy, they're working. I was amazed when, so I did this event for The RealReal, and then there was a dinner after, and I was with all these 20 something kids in fashion. And it was such a difference than being in LA. Because in LA, they just talk about what they want and what car they want, and they complain. These kids were all working. They were all hyper ambitious, dynamic. Every single one at the table had a really interesting job and was going somewhere. I mean, I'm not, I know I'm talking, you know, in a generalization, but that's what I picked up that night. And I fell madly in love with someone. And he's from Brazil, and I will play any card, you know, you whatever advantage I will exploit. So I said, well, hopefully you don't have a green card and we'll get married. And we'll live in an all glass duplex in the village, West Village. And he said, no, I have my green card. And I was just, wah, 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 wah. Now I'm
God
making another
damn.
offer. Dan, I'm making an exclusive offer on your show.
Okay, any illegal aliens listening to
Sure. Here's the offer I'm making. You know,
the
I'm an American and I'm a Canadian citizen.
pod? Oh,
And
dual. Okay.
if the apocalypse happens, if the orange nuclear apocalypse happens in November, I am willing to marry one really guy and bring him back with me.
I will say the Canadian dual citizenship is it's the least exciting possibility for a duel. It's like,
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. It's not
oh,
like, oh, you know,
well. Go
France.
to like America but worse or, colder.
No, but it's not. It's actually not. Canada is very special, and there is something about Canadian people who are nice. We really are the nice people. Seriously.
Oh yeah, I know. I don't have problems with Canadians. I just winter's starting to loom. Even though it was actually literally 80 degrees yesterday and today, it's like psychotically hot right now. The impending threat of winter makes me kind of
Yeah, but
depressed, and I'm like,
guess what?
fuck.
Your winter in New York is ghastly. So
It like
it
didn't even snow last year. I
didn't.
mean, no.
Well,
It's like very.
I could have wintered there as long as
Come
my
on back.
suede Saint Laurent boots, you know, aren't. I'd like to spend more time in New York.
You
So
might want to like spray them. You want to get them treated. It does rain a lot now
yeah,
in the winter.
I would think
So
of the Scotch
whack.
garden. Of course, I would think of the Scotch garden. Yeah.
Do you shop online at all? That's a question I had.
Dan, what a fucking difference of night and day. Because I used to be, it had to be in person, it had to
What I
be
thought. But
and
now
tactile.
everyone's shopping
No,
online.
Dan, it's changed dramatically for me because I'm such a micromanager and such a control freak that I am the biggest online shopper. And also, I mean, you know, I know what I wear, my size, my vibe, what I like backwards and forwards. So, I very rarely shop in person now. I mostly shop online.
Whoa, I'm literally shocked here. Do you like, are you doing like a lot of returns and sending stuff
I
back?
love Essence. Yeah, I'll order from Essence. And what I love about Essence is their edit is extraordinary. And they've really introduced me to all new designers. And I'll order things. I ordered a pair of like knockoff Rick Owens drop crotch pleather shorts. And they're made by my native people, Romanian, because you know both my parents are Romanian. Grandparents, we go back thousands of years to Romania. Very basic and boring, but of course I've had to glamorize the bio, and my bio starts with Kojo is a vampire born in Transylvania. We pump the bio a little. Anyway, so I bought this company called Alchemy, and they arrived, and they looked like a Skims crotchless panty. So of course I returned them immediately.
Oh, so like the drop crotch was like literal, which
The
was
drop
no
crotch,
crotch.
it looked like Kim Kardashian's labia, like her dragging.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
Ponder that for a minute. By the way, We haven't really fully discussed Stephen and Lily, who I'm absolutely obsessed with.
They're great, right? I mean, a little overrated. I'm just kidding. I like love them dearly. They're
They're so
so
fucking
funny.
clever
Yeah.
and dynamic and real. It was such an amazing experience to hang out with them and get to know them. Huge, huge, huge fans. Like, we're friends. I like them a lot.
Yes, me too. Wait, do you guys like go out after? What'd you do?
We went to Akbar,
Oh, cool. I've been there.
and it was good. They brought Brooklyn to the Akbar, and we all talked and hung, and it was a lot of fun.
Akbar feels like, to me, kind of like a Brooklyn gay bar
Yeah.
in
Too bad
LA.
you missed all the gay bars that were in the East Village, because that was a lot of fun.
I know. Well, I used to go to like, well, I go to Nowhere Bar sometimes. I saw Steven Merritt from Magnetic Fields DJ there. That was like 6 months ago. What am I talking about? Oh my God. I used to go to like Phoenix on the weekends, but that was when I was like very young and just
I
like, I
think I
don't
went.
mind waiting in line. I was like, holy
Yeah.
shit, I like never do that now. I don't think I went to the Cock once.
I used to go. I used to go to
I
the
yeah
party.
okay. What's like the craziest thing you've seen at the Cock? Or done? Or like
I
both.
don't know. Maybe I was there like on bingo night. I didn't see anything that
Oh
exciting.
yeah. You must have gone for Bing.
The more no, like we had a bar in LA called Fault Line.
That's a really insane name.
Fault Line, and that was East, you know. And people who live on the West side never go east. It's the danger zone. And Fault Line, I was still drinking, and it was wild, and things we did in corners there. You know, I think I left my hymen cord on my Maidenhead on the floor there.
Fault line. You gotta wear your drop crotch
Right.
leotard to
Rock.
fault line.
Fault
And
Line.
maybe just leave it there afterwards.
I left my virginity there. I literally left my Maidenhead. My hymen cord is in a jar there. It's like a museum piece.
Wait, did you actually like lose your virginity there? Okay,
No.
I was like, I mean, I don't know.
I
You
lost my
never know.
virginity
Sometimes,
during a
people are
snowstorm
late
and lost
bloomers. I don't know.
my car. No,
Although I just
like
have a feeling that
a
you weren't.
snowstorm. January in Montreal.
Yeah. Well, I think we should maybe wrap up. It's been
This
like an
was
hour.
wow.
I know, it really flew by.
You are amazing, and it's such a pleasure to get to know you. I'm going into hair and makeup because I'm going to an AA meeting,
Oh, there
and
you go. Yeah, you gotta get dialed up.
no, I like the message. I still like to have a contoured cheek and a bronzer.
There you go.
Yeah.
I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show. You were so easy to like get in touch with, and like you're just a pleasure to work with. And I cannot wait to see, what you do. I mean, you've done enough for me to like think you're an icon forever. But I just would love to see more of you, and I hope we do. And I'm gonna watch you, Kojo AF, live on Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Is that correct? I wrote that down, but
No, that is correct. So I'm
yeah,
doing,
I'm sorry.
I've finally gotten my dream show, with an epic budget. I'm
Yeah.
doing Instagram live
Jerry
show.
Bruckheimer is producing this, guys.
Michael Bay, I'm doing a Instagram live every Thursday, at my new, I've renamed my Instagram to Kojo as fuck. All of my media now is Kojo as fuck, because it is me, bigger, better, bolder, ballsier, with a very high sperm count, very aggressive, a lot of testosterone.
Pumping tea, yeah.
And I'm doing it. And I want people to listen. And I'm doing it. I'm doing hot topics, and I'm just letting loose, uncensored, and just talking fashion commentary and just talking.
It was great. That's how I kind of like started to communicate with you. I was like, oh my God, I'm like loving this Instagram live. I was like sitting outside. It was a beautiful night. Watch my Kojo on the phone. And yeah, I can't wait
It was
to
beautiful that
watch
you reached out.
again.
So we'll be in touch.
We will absolutely be in touch. Thank you again. And guys, subscribe to Kojo AF on Insta for the love of God. Just do
For
it.
the love of God.
For the love of God and all that's holy.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you again. I adore you so much.
Right back at you, Dan. We'll see each other soon.
Bye.
Bye.